Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1? Ruth, chapter 1. No place like his presence, like gathering in his house to lift him up, draw near to his throne. Ruth 1, verses 1 to 7 read, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn or travel, find his place in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. In the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of that place, the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah." Where do we go when tragedy strikes? Where do we go when things happen? When we face tragedy, when it rises up, when it appears suddenly in our life, we didn't plan for this to happen, but here we are. Where do we go when tragedy strikes? When things happen, where do we journey? You see, in this life, we face things. Seasons come. Seasons change. In this life, seasons come when things close to us pass away. Things that mean something to us, and they pass away. Things are different now, changes come. This is part of the journey on this side of eternity. The question this morning is, when tragedy strikes, when things happen, where do we go? So we take a look at our own lives, reflect upon our own walk, our own journey in this life, the days we've lived, the years we've lived. When tragedy has come, where have we gone? Today we might be facing tragedy as we sit in this house. Where are we at today? In the future, tragedy will come. It's a part of this life. But the question is, when tragedy strikes, where will we go? So here is this woman, and in her case, she's lost her husband and her two sons. What now? Did she have an ear for good report? And did she have a mind for journeying? Ruth chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of that place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. I want to say this morning that when tragedy strikes and when things happen, it is not a time to sit down. It is not a time to camp. It is a time to journey. Not aimless journeying, but a time to journey to the place, the land where God visits people with bread from heaven. We cannot afford to stay in Moab. When tragedy strikes, the question today is, where do we go? When tragedy strikes, whatever it looks like, where do we journey? It may be that we need this word today, and all of us, we all need this word in our lifetime. When tragedy strikes, is there sorrow? Yes. Is there pain? Yes. Is it different now? Yes. Tragedy, no matter what it is, the question is, what are we going to do now? Where are we going to go now? Facing this, living this now present reality, where are we going to go? Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law. She heard in the country of Moab how in Judah the Lord was visiting his people with bread. So these three women journey and they head out for Judah. But here's the thing, only two of them made the journey. One turned back, one went back to her people and to her gods. Ruth 1, verses 15 to 17, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, listen to these words, entreat me not to leave or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Amazing, incredible words. Words of covenant, words of loyalty. And so they went and they journeyed. They went on the way and returned to Judah. When tragedy strikes, when things happen, where do you go? Where do we go? Where do we journey? To what do we turn? What do we seek out? The word of the Lord today is, when tragedy strikes, journey to where there is bread from heaven. Journey to the place where the Lord is visiting people and giving them bread from heaven. Journey to the house of bread. Journey to the place of praise. Journey to the Lord's house. Get into the house of worship, the house of praise. Get into the house where bread is in abundance. Get into the presence of the Lord. Now, maybe that's not our pattern when we face things in life. Now, we're using an extreme example where this woman has lost her husband and two sons. But there are different forms of tragedy, different sizes of what a tragedy could be. And no matter what the tragedy is we're facing today or what we will face in the future, the word of the Lord is that we fold into his presence. That we travel, that we journey out of the place where we are to the land where the Lord is feeding people with bread. I want to say this morning, don't let tragedy kill your walk with the Lord. Don't let tragedy destroy your future. That's what the enemy would like to see happen. Tragedy is a part of life. We can't escape it on this side of eternity. We understand that. And we feel it. But the question is, what are we going to do when tragedy strikes? The enemy would love for tragedy to take us out, to kill our walk with the Lord, to have us abandon his presence, abandon his house, to fold in, to turn, to compromise. And somehow excuse action because it's tragedy. And we say things like, you don't know what I'm going through, or you don't know what I'm facing. But do we believe in a God that is greater than tragedy? A God that can lead us out into a future that is prosperous and abundant. Don't let tragedy destroy your future. If it's loss or disappointment or sudden change, don't let it destroy your future. When tragedy strikes, when things happen, journey to the place where the Lord visits people with bread. Now, this bread is not of this world. Tragedy, and the world would say, head to the place where the Lord is visiting his people and giving them bread. Yes. You see, we have to move on. The Lord has a future for us. It's not over. A new season has come. And I trust you can hear the Spirit of the Lord this morning saying, it's not over. I have a future for you. A new season has come. I'm calling you on. Don't let tragedy kill your walk with the Lord. I don't know what people are facing in this room today, but over and over this week, I just feel the burden of that phrase. When tragedy strikes, journey to the place where God is feeding people with bread, where he is providing what only he can provide. It is supernatural. It is not natural provision. Natural ingredients will not bring us out of Moab. They cannot supply us. They cannot sustain us. We need to journey to the place where there is bread that is not of this world. Ruth 1:19-21. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. Wow. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So here we see she has an ear for a good report. Initially in the land of Moab, she has a mind for journeying, but you know what can happen because of tragedy? We can somehow end up blaming God and attempt to change our name. Tragedy strikes, whatever that looks like. And all of a sudden we find ourselves somehow blaming God. And we have an ear for good report, and we have a mind for journeying to the land where God does feed people with bread, where he does supply supernatural strength and power. But we arrive, and we are received, but we arrive, and we say, I've changed my name. And our confession is that God has dealt with us bitterly, that he's wronged us. He's let us down. You know, Naomi means pleasant, means my delight. Mara means bitter or bitterness. Don't call me Naomi any longer, call me Mara. Don't call me pleasant any longer, no longer my delight, call me bitter. I want to encourage all of us this morning. Don't put a new name on your life because of tragedy. Don't put a new name on your household because of tragedy. Don't put a new name on a church because of tragedy. Come on, whatever it is, don't put a new name on your business because of tragedy. It is times like these that we need to confess our God-given name like never before. Not show up and somehow find ourselves blaming God and attempt to change our name from pleasant and my delight or his delight to now bitterness. You change your name to bitterness, and that's what you live out. Let us not lose ourselves because of earth's tragedy. Let's keep our eyes on heaven's triumph. We might not understand all things on this side of eternity, but let's let God be God. Let's walk into the glorious future he has prepared for us. I say this gently this morning, and I trust we can hear the Spirit of the Lord. Our past has no future. There are some that cannot enter into the future with God because they can't let go. Our past has no future. Our past has no future. Some of us were saying, my past is my future, and we just can't get it out of right here. And it's affecting here. It's affecting our hands, our feet. It's affecting everything. But God is saying this morning, your past has no future. I have a future that I'm leading you into. Wow. We are not downplaying any tragedy this morning. Tragedy is very real. What we are saying is don't let tragedy kill your future. Don't let tragedy take you out. Don't let tragedy keep you in Moab. Don't let tragedy keep you from the land where the Lord visits people with bread. Don't let it kill your faith. Don't let it kill your walk with the Lord. Don't let it rob you of your future just because you face tragedy. There are many Christians that as soon as they face tragedy that they seemingly cannot handle, it chains them up in Moab. There are some that turn from the Lord and they walk away and they press in to compromise. Instead of running to the one that can turn tragedy into triumph, they forsake the Lord. But God is saying, if you will have an ear for good report, and a mind for journeying, and you will rise up and you will show up at the border of the land where God feeds his people with supply from heaven, not charging God wrong, not attempting to change your name. It is just the beginning of harvest for you. We have to receive it, and we have to believe it. Listen to Ruth 1:22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. And I believe that's the word of the Lord today. You have arrived at the beginning of harvest. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. Some are going to receive this word. It's going to change your life. I pray that a church receives this word. It will change this church. It will change this city. It will affect businesses. It will affect the education realm. It will affect the province, and it will spread because God is not a man that he should lie, and he's doing something new in lives. He seeks and desires to do something new with you. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what you're going through, the future is bright. Your past has no future. How many conversations we have where it's all about the past? We're never talking about what God is about to do. We're always dwelling on the old thing. Even church people talk like that. Even those that are, you know, strong Christians, they get together and they talk about the old thing, but the past has no future. God is doing a new thing. I trust you can receive the word today. Where do we go when tragedy strikes, small or great or anywhere in between? And it might be this morning that when tragedy strikes, it takes us to a very dark place. It takes us to the depths of Moab. It might be that when tragedy strikes, it immediately takes us and drives us to compromise. That we turn to other gods, that we turn to other things. It could be that tragedy has come and we've gone back to our old way of life, old people. We didn't come to the Lord and enter into this relationship with God, and he says, no tragedy, don't worry. No, we got God on our side and we're walking with him, and so we step out into the future with our Lord. And when tragedy comes, we rely on him and run to him. Bread in another land, some mystical bread, some mystical provision, some mystical bread without an earthly label on it, without natural ingredients. Yes. We're not going to try and naturalize this morning. We're going to let God be God. I believe too often we're trying to naturalize everything in the kingdom. Explain it somehow naturally, but God is a supernatural God. And he feeds his people with supernatural supply. Supernatural supply. When tragedy strikes, as I said before, we need much more than natural ingredients. We need much more than natural ingredients. Listen to the words of David Wilkerson. I've spent weeks before the Lord weeping and crying out to him for a message of comfort and hope for all the hurting believers who have written to us, sharing their deep hurts, such pain, such deep sorrow, grief and trouble everywhere. What message can I send to these in such dire need? What is the word of the Lord? Surely he cares and will bring forth the truth that sets free. There can only be one answer. God has provided a way to make every child of his strong to resist the enemy. This strength comes from eating the bread of God sent down from heaven. Our spiritual health and strength depends on getting the bread of God into us. Hear carefully the words of Jesus. I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. John 6:5-7. Jesus was in such close union with the Father, so committed to do only the Father's will. The Father's words became his very food and drink. He was daily sustained by hearing and seeing what the Father wanted. This was the result of spending much time alone with him. He once told his disciples, I have meat to eat that you do not know of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 4:32-34. And Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat or food which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. John 6:27. He goes on, he says this, we dare not miss this secret of strength. Even as Christ lived by the Father, so we must get our life by feeding on him. To the dear 86-year-old brother who wrote me telling me so feebly that he tries to nurse and care for his crippled wife, too poor to afford a nursing home, worried he may die leaving no one to care for her, I say, don't despair. Look up and drink in his presence. Let the Holy Spirit feed you the manna of heaven. Call on him. He hears the most feeble cry. He will feed you himself. He will enter into your innermost being with renewed light and life. God cannot lie. He said, Jesus is our bread of life from which we live and get our strength. Christ will give you strength. Christ will give us strength for the future. Strength that helps us overcome what we are facing and leads us into the prosperous future, the harvest that he has for each one of us. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Look up and drink and feed and call on the Lord. He is our bread. Look up and eat. You got to take it in. You know, it's one thing, you could cross over into the land where there's bread, but you got to eat. But I just think I could enter a restaurant and not eat. I could go to a banquet or a feast and not eat. Though I need it. When we journey to the land that the Lord is parceling out bread from heaven, we need to eat. We need to take it in. We need to gain strength. Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Is it loss? Is it pain? Is it suffering? Is it sorrow? Is it sudden change? What is it? Is it loneliness or is it fear? Is it confusion? Is it sickness? What is it? Is it the burden of a child? It weighs heavy on your heart? Then she came and she worshiped, saying, "Lord, help me." If you need this word today, I want to encourage you to rise and set out for the land where God visits people with bread. We are not destined to remain in the land of tragedy. That's not your new dwelling place. God has a future. He's got more in store. It's not over yet. Maybe that's hard for some to receive today, but it's not over yet. It's not finished yet. "Behold, I do a new thing," says the Lord. It's already springing forth. Past has no future. Not finished with you yet. Maybe we've heard this report before that there is a place where God visits people with bread. I want to ask this morning, what is stopping us from rising? And what is stopping us from journeying to the place? What has us still on the floor? What has us pinned to the floor? Why are we still in Moab? What's holding us back? This decision is critical. When tragedy strikes, if we remain in Moab, we may starve to death. Things will start to decay. Things will lose their strength. We might scrape by, but this is not the destiny of the Lord for us. You know what Moab means? Compromise. It's the land of compromise. It's a place of danger. It's a land we come to accept rather than journeying to the land the Lord has for us. So tragedy strikes, and we come to accept rather than journeying to the land the Lord has for us. We come to accept rather than stepping into the future with God. We call it the end. God has more in store. There is bread being parceled out in Judah, and it's just the beginning of harvest. I encourage all of us to cross the border and to let God heal us with the supply that is not of this world. Psalm 81:10 reads, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. The voice reads, I am the eternal, your true God. I liberated you from slavery, led you out of the land of Egypt. If you will open your mouth wide, I will fill it. Open wide. I felt this morning praying over the word. Open wide. Has it been too small and too constricted? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Some of us, we got our mouths shut up and God cannot feed us with bread. It's too small, it's too constricted, and God is saying, if you open your mouth wide, I will fill it. Too small, too constricted. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God is not a man that he should lie. And I know Psalm 81 reads Egypt, but the reality is that Moab does the same thing to people. It enslaves them. That's what happens. There are people enslaved because of tragedy, because they have not had an ear for good report and a mind for journeying. They've turned to compromise. They've accepted where they're at with the circumstances that they have, rather than journeying to the place where God is feeding people with bread, crossing the border into the new land, arriving just at the beginning of harvest, not trying to change their name, not saying anything wrong about God, because he has not let you down. God never fails. Never. That might shock some people here, that never. We might just not get it. We can't see the big picture, but we have to trust the Lord. Don't let tragedy have its way with your faith. Open wide. God is here today to bring us out of the land of our tragedy. He's here today to liberate us, and he is here today to fill us. Open your mouth wide, and he will fill it. Listen, open your mouth wide and pour out praises and he will fill you with bread. If you will lift your hands in his house, he will hand you bread from heaven. If you dance, he will deliver to you bread that cannot be fully described. It is a miracle provision. It's not of this world. It's not bread of this world. There are no natural ingredients on the label. This is bread from heaven. And again, we're not going to try and naturalize this. We're going to let God be God. I've sat under messages, and they're good, but it's like we take the power out of it because we try and naturalize everything. Let's just let God be God. It's a miracle provision. It's simply a miracle. It's something only he can do. It's bread that only he can give. It's a feeding that only he can orchestrate. Let's have the worship team return. Then she arose, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we stand this morning? Lord, we trust in your word. Trust in your provision, God. I don't know what you're facing this morning or what you're going through. Maybe you need this word today, or you'll need this word in the future. If your ear has been stopped, let ears be open this morning. Let eyes be open this morning. Let minds be turned to journeying. If you've tried to change your name, and now you're living by that new name, listen, God does not call you by that name. He still calls you Delight. My delight. He calls you pleasant, not bitter or bitterness or whatever we've tried to change our name to. The name that the Lord has for us stands. And so now more than ever, we confess that name and we live by that name. I believe this morning as we pour out praises, there's going to be a miraculous feeding in this place. Famines are being traded for feasts today. Scarcity is being traded for abundance today. Shortage is being traded for plenty today. Tragedy is being traded for triumph today. Sickness is being met with healing today, physically, emotionally, mentally. We have to come to the land of bread. It's the only hope. It's the only hope. So team's just going to lead. We'll close in a few moments. But we've come. And now we're going to worship. We're going to cry out, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Healing is the children's bread. Strength and supply. Lord, we trust the God of the impossible. I trust in you, Lord. Let's open up your heart right now. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through. Thank you, Lord.